Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Great having a good Christmas conversation. And this Christmas, as Christmas approaches, you know, we got all so many celebrations and things going on and all kinds of feelings come up. This is a good time to talk about addiction and recovery. It's not a bad time to talk about it because it's an affliction of our society, perhaps an affliction of all societies. I don't know. But the Lord is a healer. Jesus loves everybody, and he's got all kinds of ways of reaching out and helping us with our addictions, with our obsessions, with our compulsions. And someone who's doing great work in that area is Scott Wieman, our guest this hour. If you have questions for Scott, 888-318-7884. Maybe you got questions about making it through the holidays. Maybe you got questions about, hey, I've got an alcoholic in the family. What am I supposed to do for the Christmas party? Can I have alcohol? Whatever your question might be, Scott is the guy to talk to about it. 888-318-7884. He is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. He is the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. Scott Wieman, welcome.
A pleasure to join you tonight, Si.
Do people ask you that? Do people say to you, Scott, you know, so-and-so is in recovery in my family. Should I have alcohol out or should I not have alcohol for the holidays? You get that question?
I think that's a legitimate question to ask. Yeah, that's a question that I get.
And what do you say to those people?
I don't think there's a right or wrong way to go about it.
Okay.
Sometimes, perhaps, I wouldn't make alcohol the center of the celebration. But I don't
think
that's
a good policy in general. Yeah. I think that's a good general policy to have. Yes. Okay.
Absolutely. Although growing up in a family where alcohol was the central thing in any celebration when we got together, that certainly happens. Sometimes that's not under our control, though. We're, you know, that's kind of the family that we're born into,
right?
Or the family that we marry. So we may not have as much control over what is the central focus of the gatherings. And, you know, we can certainly get into what are some healthy boundaries to maintain, create, what kind of, you know, having an out in some ways. Maybe that's not necessarily just like leaving. Could be, certainly is rational. But otherwise, just, you know, having someone who's willing to take a phone call if you need to step out, you know, kind of connect with someone for some serenity for a moment and just check in.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. I think a lot of us, for various reasons, at different times in our lives, feel separated from the church and maybe not quite worthy of coming back. I do want to ask you, before we get into calls, about a person who suffers with addictions or maybe is in recovery, maybe is not, and the relationship with the church. Can you come back and how can you come back?
Yeah, well, as someone who has come back to the church upon getting sober and finding recovery, this certainly can happen. And actually, I think that when we experience the miracle of God working in our lives, that we want deeper relationship with him. And so whether it's coming back to the church of our youth or whether it's coming to the church for the first time, I believe that, you know, not everyone comes back to the church on a winning streak. And sometimes us returning to the church is out of this desperation. And I believe, you know, I think a good word for that is grace. We can, you know, be given this opportunity, this grace, even amidst situations that can be very challenging, situations that we wouldn't voluntarily sign up for. But that can humble us. It can provide us, you know, kind of this desperate need to find a power greater than ourselves, if we were to speak recovery language, or, you know, certainly to embrace God, our Savior. And, you know, a variety of ways that can happen. I've gotten the blessing of seeing it happen, you know, innumerable times in recovery. We have, you know, in Catholic in Recovery, the community that I founded out of really my own recovery from alcoholism, drug addiction, and other addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, have gotten the blessing of seeing people come to the church, come back to the church, and, you know, come back to the sacraments. It's not uncommon when we're hosting a Catholic in recovery retreat for someone to be returning to the sacrament of confession for the first time in 20, 30, 40, or even 50 years.
Wow.
And it's just such a gift to see. And so, yes, addiction and recovery can be really wonderful pathways back to the church, because when, you know, when we are focused on addiction, addiction is, you know, regardless of the substance or the behavior, whether it be related to alcohol, drugs, lust, pornography, food, a lot of food-related addictions, gambling, internet and technology, whatever that might be, we are really becoming our own God in some ways, or that is our idol, that is our God. And so once we are sick and tired of being sick and tired, facing the consequences, the natural consequences of those behaviors, we realize that we need to find a different God and find God himself. And yes, it can be an excellent pathway back to the church or to the church for the first time.
888-318-7884 is our number. You are welcome to call, whether you are Catholic or not. Scott, I'd be happy to talk with anybody. Again, I love to remind folks or just say the words. It always makes me feel better when I say that Jesus is a healer, and he talked to everybody. So Scott's not better than Jesus. He'll talk to you, whatever your question is about addiction and healing, whether it has to do with your own, something happening in the family, maybe just a general question that you have about all of this. Also, there are lots of Catholic in recovery meetings now available all around this country, so growing around the world. If you'd like to know about more about that, there are also virtual meetings that people are attending. You go to, go ahead, Scott, say it so that I don't mess it up.
CatholicInRecovery.com.
I was going to say that.
CatholicInRecovery.org will also take you there as well.
CatholicInRecovery.com. Check it out. But
we had to buy the rights to CatholicInRecovery.org
because I kept saying
it. I was always saying
It would be wonderful if that was a lie, but that's the truth. I never got that right. 888-318-7884 is the number if you'd like to talk about recovery. 888-318-7884. Scott, as people are dialing, because I see the lines beginning to fill up or beginning to light up over here. I will just ask you this. Is Catholic in recovery, and I know I've asked this before, but I always feel like I want to get this on the record with you because this might be the first time someone's hearing about it. Mm-hmm. Is it a replacement for AA or NA or some other meeting that you're going to?
No. Our intention is to be really a bridge between the church and secular 12-step recovery, which has saved my life and continues to save my life. 14 years ago, I walked into a 12-step recovery room full of shame and fear and resentment and had very little hope. And the people there, some of who were Christians, some who were not, shared the gospel with me and, you know, really helped save my life and encouraged me that I needed to find a relationship with God. And that helped me come back to the church of my youth. And so come to a Catholic in recovery meeting. We do not claim to be a substitute for, but rather a bridge between supplemental. One might in these secular 12-step groups, maybe it might be hard to express our faith. Some of the specifics of it, Catholic devotions, saints, scripture references might be deemed out of bounds in such a secular group that claims to be spiritual and is spiritual and at its foundation had great Catholic influence. But as our culture has become more secularized, as have 12-step meetings. And so Catholic in recovery is a respite where one can find a place where they can just share openly and freely about our faith. As you mentioned, virtual meetings are taking place every day throughout the day. A couple of meetings where we read the daily mass readings, relate them to our experience in recovery and with addiction, our own or a loved one's, pray a rosary together. We have a Divine Mercy Chaplet group, all sorts of different opportunities for fellowship, prayer, and resources as well to really guide one through the 12 steps, which is an excellent blueprint for surrender and really clearing out the things that might stand in the way of our relationship with Christ.
Scott Wieman, our guest, your calls welcome. There are still a couple lines open, 888-318-7884. Look, if you want to use a pseudonym, if you want to use a pseudo-location, you're welcome to do that. You should not have any scruples about that. You're welcome to call. We want you to call. We know that identity, you might need to protect it. That's fine. Please feel free to do that. 888-318-7884. Ike's here in San Diego, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Thanks for getting us started. Ike, you got a question for Scott Wieman?
Yes. Can you hear me?
It's not very clear, Ike. You sound far away. Can you get closer to the phone?
Okay. That's right. I'm driving.
Oh, it's one of those situations. All right. Be safe.
How about now?
Oh, so good, Ike. It sounds so good now. Go ahead.
Okay, so I've been in recovery for about 20 years now. Found my way back to the church through my recovery program. And I've been having, as of late, some grief from my sponsor about me spending more time doing church-related activities than activities at my, you know, through my recovery or my recovery group. I wanted to get the host's opinion on that.
Scott?
Yeah, Ike, thanks for calling in. San Diego is where I found new life and sobriety and really wonderful recovery in San Diego. And great question. One that's not uncommon that, you know, am I spending too much time in the church and not doing enough recovery stuff? I believe that there... I mean, I don't know the situation, so can't speak to it specifically. But you know what he's probably referring to is maybe a fear that he has. He may not understand fully, also, really the wonders and what you're finding in the church. Sometimes we can get a little bit scrupulous as far as our church activities go, and I believe that a really delicate balance and an important balance of both contemplation and action are necessary to find freedom, recovery, whether we have are struggling with an addiction or not. You know, I'm not saying that we can become addicted to the church per se, but if you know, it's neglecting other opportunities where we might be a beneficial presence in other people's lives, or maybe need to hear a message that is a very practical message related to recovery and not attending meetings, or, you know, we just kind of stop going to 12-step meetings. Sometimes there can be an over-spiritualization. We can over-spiritualize our recovery, and that's a danger, just as much as it would be a danger to have no spirituality at all. I would say the latter is probably a little bit more consequential. But yeah, I don't think so. Well, I mean, can you give us a little bit more kind of an example or what your experience has been? It sounds like you're probably finding something in the church that is supplementing what you're finding in recovery, or maybe being prioritized over recovery.
Yeah, well, I'm a cradle Catholic, right? Grew up Catholic schools and, you know, and then fell off the faith for some years, right? Got into the alcohol and the drugs for a minute, and you know, and I started going to recovery because I saw a parent go through recovery, right? So as the years progressed, I went back to the church, and I started seeing a lot of the parallels of what I didn't see before in the church. What they were trying to teach me in the church was what I've learned in recovery, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've even, one of the things that I always felt I was lacking in the church was being a part of. And I think that was, I found out that was my own fault for not looking, you know, for something for me to connect to within in my parish. And I actually found that. And now I'm pretty active in my parish and in another ministry. And it's something I do with my wife as well. So, and like you said, I'm finding a lot of the, I think if anything, it supplements my recovery. And I'm finding people within the church that could use help as far as like the 12-step programs that I kind of, that they learn from me and from sharing my experience.
Yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes we can get, you know, we can get kind of caught up in recovery itself, and that can become an idol. And so necessary to find a balance between our relationship with the church. I would strongly encourage you to check out a Catholic in Recovery meeting. We have some local meetings in San Diego, also virtual meetings, where you'll be able to, you know, find this free expression of your faith, and even, you know, various kind of prayer and meditation opportunities within Catholic in Recovery meetings or groups. I will also note this, and you might, you know, throughout the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it describes finding this power greater than ourselves, and strongly encourages that we lean on the faith of our, you know, of our faith, that we lean on our faith. In the back of the book, Appendix 5, the religious view on AA, it notes Edward Dowling, Father Edward Dowling, says, Alcoholics Anonymous is natural. It is natural at the point where nature comes closest to the supernatural, namely in humiliations and in consequent humility. My experience, a ton. There is something spiritual about an art museum or a symphony, and the Catholic Church approves our use of them. There is something spiritual about AA too, and Catholic participation in it almost invariably results in poor Catholics becoming better Catholics. And Ike, that's what I'm hearing from you, man, that having found this miracle of freedom from your alcoholism or addiction, you have desired a deeper relationship with Christ and have found that through the church. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I would strongly encourage it, while also making sure that we're not neglecting, you know, kind of the actions that we can take for daily surrender and to participate in our own recovery.
Ike, I want to send you a book. It's called Secrets from Heaven. It's a reflection on the sayings and parables of Jesus. If you'd like it, just hang on the line. We'll send it to you. We got to take a quick break. Right back. All the lines. Well, no, one line open. You can still get in. 888-318-7884.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious mystic monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All mystic monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase mystic monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
This is Jim Pinto, Director of EWTN Media Missionaries. EWTN's mission is to spread the eternal word and to teach others that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You can help EWTN share the good news by becoming a media missionary. Visit EWTNmissionaries.com today and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Could not walk around this office today without somebody saying, did you see Philip Rivers playing football yesterday? Because we're big fans of Philip Rivers around here at Catholic Answers. And it was fun. It was fun to get to watch him.
Almost won.
Oh, man. He did win, and then they kind of lost. Like, it was like, oh, they won. Oh, they were so close to winning. It was one of those, you had it, and then we watched it slip away. But they were playing an awful darn good team, so that was pretty impressive. So we'll see. We'll see how things go forward. Let's go. We're talking about addiction and recovery. Scott Wieman is our guest. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery. CatholicInRecovery.com is where you can find out about it. One of the things you might want to do, maybe you are the pastor of a parish, maybe you are a parishioner who would like to have Catholic in Recovery at your parish. You can find out about how to do that at CatholicInRecovery.com. Right now we're going up to Boise, Idaho, where Thomas is listening on Salt and Light Radio. We're glad to have you here, Thomas. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you, sir. I have a brother, age 72, who's a lifelong addict. He has found sobriety through AA off and on for the past 30 years.
Praise God.
Recently completely clean for 3 years. We are lifetime Catholics. I encourage him to return to the church. His response is always the same, and that's my question. He says, I get everything I need from God through AA. That's my religion. That's my faith. So my question is the AA God the same as the Christian God? If not, how can I encourage him to return to the faith? He's very resistant to that.
That's a great question, Thomas. I appreciate it, and a common one too. I think particularly among family members who are seeing a miracle happen within their loved one, but would like it just to go a touch further, or you know, like come back to the church, come back to the faith that we grew up with. And, you know, where your common response, as I'm sure is kind of my thought is too, is you're finding everything there except for the sacraments and, you know, maybe other spiritual devotions and Catholic devotions that can be very helpful to aid in our recovery, surrender, and really just, yeah, in a, cooperating with God's grace. But not uncommon for someone to find new life in a 12-step recovery group, and then that becomes their, like, their priority or their devotion. And a couple of things on this. I think first, it speaks a little bit to the church's lack of resources and opportunities around addiction recovery, and hence part of the reason why Catholic in Recovery exists, so that the church can really step up to provide a place for hope and healing. It's not uncommon for if someone's sharing a challenge with a pastor or a parish leader or you know, someone that they deem a mentor in the church, and you say, well, why don't you go find AA, go to AA. And then what happens is they experience the miracle of God finding, like, restoring them to sanity and relieving them of that, you know, addictive and compulsive behavior. And then they just stay there. They just stay there as their place where they're, you know, gathering in fellowship, praising, worshiping. And, I, you know, praise God that that can happen, that that can, that that can be a solution to find freedom from this really damaging condition, regardless of the behavior or the substance. And the church, I think, has a responsibility to step up and provide a place, a home, a place for healing, which it does. It does. It really does. For those who are impacted by addiction, as well as family members impacted by addiction. There's an organization, a Protestant group called Celebrate Recovery, which has over 30,000 meetings around the world. And we lose a lot of Catholics to those, to Protestant churches, because they have gotten a solution to addiction. And so people go to a, you know, the, at least a Christian organization, Celebrate Recovery, or others. There are several others. And then they find the miracle of God working in their life there. And then they just stay there. They then begin to worship or, you know, attend that church and have lost the relationship with the church. And perhaps that's a little bit of disbelief, or that the, you know, that the sacraments are real, and, you know, there's all of that kind of notion to it. But no, it shouldn't really be a place. We don't get sober just to hang out in AA meetings or in 12-step recovery meetings, but we get sober so that we can be a beneficial presence in our life, or in our families, in our communities, in our workplace, and throughout the world, wherever we may be. So, and that that's what, again, as kind of as the last caller we spoke about, that's within the tradition of 12-step recovery groups as well, is lean into, you know, AA, as per the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, Bill Wilson, when he spoke to the National Catholic Council on Alcoholism and Addiction, he said that AA is like a spiritual kindergarten, that it's at least getting us there, but there's so much more depth to find within the church. And so I'm hopeful that the Catholic in Recovery can be a bridge, but it may be difficult for someone who's in your brother's shoes to hear that, where, you know, we get very kind of stuck on our in our ways, or stubborn in our beliefs in some ways.
Thomas, I'm going to leave that there so that we can continue to get people on. I hope that that was helpful to you. Dottie's in Pennsylvania listening on Ave Maria Radio. Dottie, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hi, Scott.
Hey, Dottie.
I heard you speaking about compulsions in the beginning of the show. And I was wondering, how prevalent are they in alcoholism? And can they progress in severity to create a true mental health diagnosis like obsessive compulsive disorder or OCD?
Yeah, can you say a little bit more about that, Dottie? Kind of.
So my son has been alcoholic. He's 36, since he's probably, we noticed, 18. And, you know, we've treated him with AA meetings and programs and institutions for like, till he's like early 30s, and now we're recognizing that he's got these compulsions going on, opening and shutting the door, and numbers and compulsions. And I never really associated that with alcoholism. And I was wondering, I never even read about it. All the times I researched, yeah, you know, and tried to find things to help him. But when you, that just clicked when I heard you say that at the beginning of the show. So,
yeah,
do you see that in alcoholics?
I mean, that certainly can happen. And it may, you know, one's proclivity to rely upon alcohol can lead to some, you know, some behaviors that are not the most healthy. And, you know, some rituals, you know, rituals that can help kind of almost seem like a solution. And, you know, when taken too far, it's not specific, though, to people with alcoholism or alcohol problems, but can affect anyone who's not even, you know, abusing substances or behaviors as well. But, you know, I use the term addiction. We use the phrase addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, partly because sometimes that word addiction just doesn't seem to be the right word to capture what someone's experience is, or it has so much kind of such a connotation to it that people aren't all that willing yet to say that what I have is an addiction, but maybe a compulsion. Right. So in some cases, like a food-related compulsion, overeating, compulsive overeating, or even compulsive lusting behavior might be more appropriate of a term than an addiction. To be honest, I really don't care what you call it, as long as you see a need for help and a desire to change, a desire to surrender to our Lord so that he might heal. But you're also, Dottie, probably spot on that there is, in addition to some challenges with alcohol, perhaps some, you know, some obsessive compulsive disorder challenges, which is not uncommon to develop in one's 20s and 30s. And there's a lot of really good therapy and other, you know, really support available for that. So would encourage you to check it out.
Dottie, thank you for that call. There's a few lines open. If you'd like to talk with Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, about Catholic in Recovery, or about recovery, or about addiction, or about anything that falls into that general category, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
What is the Catholic Church? Everyone seems to have an opinion, but the Church never quite fits into the boxes people make for it. In The Faith Unboxed, author Andrew Petiprin looks at some of the most common boxes people put the Catholic Church in and explains why they don't fit. In doing so, he brings us closer to what the Church really is, the institution founded by Christ. Order The Faith Unboxed today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests. He does on-air debates. And he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron.
The Stigmata, the appearance of Christ's wounds on ordinary believers. Is it real or fake? What's the evidence? And if real, what could God's reason be for causing this? In God's Wounds, author John Clark offers what may be the most thorough, honest, and faithful reckoning with the stigmata ever written, examining the evidence and making sense of it both medically and spiritually. Order God's Wounds today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Scott Wieman, author of several things, most famously The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. You can find that. You can find the Catholic in Recovery workbook. You can find the Recovery Rosary. Am I saying that right? Recovery
You're
Rosary?
You're doing great.
Thank you. I love how you support me sometimes like I'm a four-year-old. You're doing great, Si. 888-318-7884. Excuse me, is the number. I got all choked up about Scott. If you want to talk to Scott, 888-318-7884. Want to talk about addiction? You want to talk about his best buddy, the Pope? Yep, that's right. They're best buddy. Or pen pals. Or I don't know how to describe your relationship with Pope Leo. I know you guys are buds. How would you describe it?
I would describe it as unilateral.
Well, you don't think he remembers you? He's met you.
Who knows? But
you,
yeah,
you don't think I think he's thinking.
I had a really blessed opportunity to meet the Pope in September. We spoke upon it the last time that I was here.
And on the same day that you met the Pope, I believe you also saw Andrea Botticelli. So who was the more impressive figure of the two, Scott?
Oh, my gosh. It was just the combination of the two was incredible. Being a fly on the wall for this private concert, Andrea Botticelli and his son Matteo singing to Pope Leo in the Bernini Gardens at Castel Gandolfo was just a memory I'll never forget.
You are the most politic person. Look at how beautifully he handled that. With that, no insult to Botticelli, no insult to Pope. He just handles that like a pro. That's why the Pope loves you. I'm sure that's why he invites you to stuff and he never invites me to anything. 888-318-7884 is the number. Is resentment bad? Are you supposed to not have resentment? Is that bad for you, Scott?
Resentment is no good, Si. We got to find some freedom from that.
All right. Let's see. Bill in Oklahoma. Glad to have you, Bill. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hey, Si, first of all, I just want to wish you and all the staff at Catholic Answers and your guest a very blessed Christmas and
Thank
New
you,
Year.
Bill. You're very kind, Bill.
And,
Thank you.
It's good to speak to you again. My question for Scott is, Scott, I have, over the years, had many people cross my path that were in recovery programs, primarily AA, and they had mentioned to me that when they go to these AA meetings, that they refer to a higher power instead of to God. And I just was wondering, why is that?
Okay.
And I'm so glad to see that the Catholic Church now has a recovery program themselves, because I agree with what you said earlier. You know, when the Celebrate Recovery and all these other places came up, it was like if you were Catholic and you went to the church to seek help in those areas, it was, like we really don't have anything for you here, but here, go here. And I think we have lost people in the faith because of that. And I'm so glad that we have something now that we can maintain that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate that we've had to refer out that healing when we have the one who heals, our Lord, found in the sacraments and scripture and the body of Christ and such. Great question regarding how we refer to God in secular 12-step recovery, which has become more secularized over the years. And it's not just people referring to God as higher power. I think that's a common term that can capture it for all Christians or non-Christians or believers or non-believers. But certainly using the term God to describe God in a recovery meeting is quite okay. That's also somewhat dependent on where you are. For example, some parts of the country that may have a bit more secularized, or even more some meetings from meeting to meeting, maybe the acceptance of a Christian God or a description of a Christian God might be quite different. When Nashville, Tennessee, where I live, which has rather of a Christian culture, people referring to God or even Jesus Christ in meetings, and you wouldn't bat an eye in some other places if you brought up the name Jesus and referring to our God, that would be, you would get some scorned looks. And also, part of that, though, too, is that, recovery is available for all. It's most of the time we don't walk into recovery meetings on a winning streak, but rather, are just in this desperate place and hopeless in a lot of ways. And so, being able to find, and maybe our relationship with God has been tarnished, has been challenged. That was my experience. I needed to reimagine who God was. I believed in God, but I didn't believe that God had an interest in my life. And, through working the steps, getting back to the church, connecting with fellows in recovery who were really showing me the merciful love of our Lord, that helped open up a new relationship with Christ. I will refer to, and also, as it was described to me, there's a big funnel. Non-believers, believers, people who are coming to recovery need sobriety. It can be a really great entryway into life or even the possibility of the existence of God. But yeah, it's got to be a kind of a big opening funnel and then getting closer, really suggesting, as the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous does, finding a deep relationship with our higher power, you know, that power deep within ourselves, like, you know, a variety of ways that we might refer to God. And on page 45, this, you know, I think summarizes this well. The Big Book says, lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. Obviously, but where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. That means we have written a book which we believe to be spiritual as well as moral, and it, of course, that we are going to talk about God. Here, difficulty arises with agnostics. Many times we talk to a new man and watch his hope rise as we discuss his alcoholic problems and explain our fellowship. But his face falls when we speak of spiritual matters, especially when we mention God, for we have reopened a subject which our man thought he had neatly evaded or entirely ignored. And that's in a chapter called We Agnostics, which is speaking to the experience of those who might come into a recovery program with this agnostic belief, but then, you know, kind of develops or matures into a relationship with God, who we might get specific about and, you know, find our Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Trinitarian God that we know. But, you know, for some, it's kind of a progressive coming to find God rather than this just like, you better believe or you're not welcome here. And in a lot of ways, you know, the gospel is shared, the gospel of Christ is shared in a very authentic way in meetings such as those. Now, some can take this a little bit too far, and I believe, you know, kind of idolizing things that are not God. You know, it's, you might hear someone in a recovery meeting say that the light which turned the light switch which turned the light on in the room that allows us to all be gathered here today is their higher power, or, you know, other things. The group is their higher power. The God is a group of drunks, a G-O-D. The great outdoors might be someone's God that they start out with. But we're really not to stay there. We're really to develop a deeper relationship with God. However, as our culture has become more secularized, some of those more vague interpretations of God has become more accepted. And I would say that a specific interpretation of God through that we know through our church and scripture is a little bit less accepted, unfortunately.
Bill, because the lines are full, I'm going to leave it there. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Bill. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
You bet.
All right, let's go to New Jersey. Anita's in New Jersey listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Anita, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman. Hi, Anita. We are ready for you, Anita. You got a question for Scott? All right. Well, Anita, we're going to come back to you. We're going to come back to you. That elevator is going to reach its floor at some point. It sounds like an elevator to me. I don't know. And then Anita is going to pick up the phone and talk to us. But right now we'll go to Mike in Troy, New York. We're going to come back to you, Anita. Don't worry. You don't have to go anywhere. Mike in Troy, New York, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
I'm speaking from a speakerphone. Can you hear me?
You sound fine, Mike. You sound very clear. Thank you.
Cool. I'm sober 20 years, 3 months, and 2 days.
Praise
and
God.
My question to you, Mr. Scott, is how do you stay sober?
If you're asking how do I stay sober by the grace of God entirely, in cooperating with that grace.
Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. You've been saved by grace. It's not of good works. It's a gift from God.
Mm-hmm. And likewise, you know, what was expressed to me early in my recovery, the man who saved my life, who took a chance, darted across the room after my first meeting on October 10th, 2011, looked me in the eyes and said, I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again. He made it very clear early on, said, never underestimate your ability to help the addict or alcoholic who still suffers. And that in doing so, it's going to help you stay sober. And that is, you know, I believe that the greatest gifts, and sobriety is a great gift. It's perhaps the greatest gift, in addition to the gift of life and the gift of faith, which are all three, I say, go hand in hand. The greatest gifts in life can only be kept if we're willing to give them away. And so, yes, absolute, it's a grace, and it's not merited. There are things that we can do to cooperate with that grace, but it's only by the grace of God that we can remain sober, free, abstinent, however you might define it.
Mike, thank you, and God bless you. I want to send you a book as well called Secrets from Heaven, if you would like a copy of it. It's just a reflection on the parables and sayings of Jesus, and I would love you to have it. And praise God for his healing, grace, and sobriety that he has brought to your life. Got to take a quick break. Right back. Hey, don't go anywhere. If you're on that phone, we're going to get to you when we come back with Scott Wieman on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
This is Father Gerald Murray. Catholic truth conveyed through the radio reaches so many, both Catholic and non-Catholic, and they receive encouragement, strength, guidance, and enlightenment. The Holy Spirit is working through these radio waves that go out to all the countries of the world. Catholic radio, of course, is an effort to make Christ known.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Back to Catholic Answers Live. Did we lose a question? Did somebody drop? Because I feel like I'm missing a question. Maybe we're just not going back to the caller from New Jersey. Maybe she dropped.
She did.
I know we some calls dropped there. I was looking forward to some of those questions. Oh well, I'll just go with the questions we've got. It's not that I don't like the people that are on the line. I just got a little confused there. So off to Montana we will go again. I'm sorry. Hang on, Montana. I'm coming to you. This is why I got confused. Michael is in Santa Clarita, California, listening to EWTN on channel 130, Sirius XM, a satellite radio. And Michael, I lost your track of your call for a minute. I apologize. Go ahead with your question.
No problem. Yeah, well, you know, I've only been to a couple of Catholic and recovery meetings. I just found it not long ago. And it was really nice, the Catholic component of that's really what I wanted to say was that, you know, we prayed the divine chaplet of divine mercy after one of the meetings. I know there was another meeting that set up for the rosary, and it's really, you know, so I've been in recovery now for some years, but my initial recovery was not in the church, not in the Catholic Church, and so. You know, that was just missing for me. That was always just missing for me. And so now to have a place of recovery that is Catholic is really fantastic. So I just wanted to thank you very much for putting it together. And that's all I want to do is just really thank you for that.
What a beautiful thing, Michael. Thank you for saying that. Scott?
Yeah, appreciate it, Michael. What a gift. I'm so grateful that you found Catholic in Recovery, which is not just meant mm-hmm. to be a starting place for recovery for people, but also serve people like yourself who have been in recovery for a while, who have been active in the church for a while. Those things have maybe been kind of two distinct things for quite some time. In some ways, maybe feeling like you've got to take your Catholic hat off before you walk into a recovery meeting, or take your recovery hat off before you walk into the church. And it allows us a place where we can just be fully Catholic and fully in recovery and connect with others who are on a similar place. So, thanks, Michael, for your presence in our community.
You know, that's such a great point. You know, and I really stumbled across, I don't know when you started Catholic in Recovery, but I just stumbled across it maybe, I take it back. I think I had the meeting on my phone for about a year before I actually went. I just had it recurring on my phone every, I think, you know, Tuesday or Thursday, whatever it was. And I finally went to it, but, you know, I have to say that I don't I don't think I've ever seen it like in the bullets in the church or in, you know, places where I think that, you know, it would be helpful to have it. But what do you recommend for that?
Yeah, well, that's hopefully progressing to where churches all over the country and all over the world are at least making available resources for addiction recovery. And, you know, we do have some, you know, things that we can put. Feel free to reach out. Anyone who's listening who says that maybe, you know, alcohol or addiction may not be my problem, but I certainly know that my community could benefit from this. Reach out to us, support us in our mission to, you know, really provide hope and healing resources and fellowship within the church. And we do have little bulletin announcement graphics that can be put into to bulletin that have a reference to virtual meetings and the hope that can be found there, with QR codes that take ones to a meeting directory. Our online meeting directory is fairly simple to refer to. There's various ways that you can find virtual meetings as well as in-person meetings, and also retreats that we host around the country as well. So we'd be happy to help make that movement take place. And, you know, while this has really been a ground up approach to building recovery within the church, you know, some action could be taken as well, or is being taken, to get church leadership aware of Catholic in recovery and the resources and fellowship made available.
Michael, I'm just going to leave that there because I want to get everybody on that called. But God bless you and thank you so much for that beautiful call. Catherine in Montana, I made you wait extra now too, Catherine. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you. No, I just wanted your opinion on Annie Grace and her This Naked Mind book as well as her online resources. I know that there's not very much of the spiritual brought into it, with my experiences, but I found a lot of great fruit from it. So I'd really love your perspective, your opinion, if you're familiar with that.
I am now just becoming familiar, and if you are telling me that you're finding fruit from it, then my opinion is reserved. Sounds great. Could you tell us a little bit more, perhaps, about some of the principles or maybe the core ideas that she shares?
It's extremely scientific. So her thing is to say you want alcohol freedom. That along with her alcohol experience, she could have a drink anytime. She just doesn't want one. And that's where I want to be, where I can be in a group, in a room, in a family gathering, and have a bunch of people drinking and just be like, yes, not for me, and have no judgment against others drinking, but absolutely just not desire it. And so she breaks the experience of alcohol down in a really fruitful way that I found really helpful. And it was actually a priest that introduced it to me in confession. So I thought that she was quite well known, but I guess if you don't know her, then maybe I'm just totally off on that. But
I mean,
found great, great beneficial fruit from Annie Grace, This Naked Mind, and then The Path and all the other online services that she offers for alcohol freedom.
Scott?
Wonderful. Yeah, sounds great. Thank you for sharing. Certainly be, you know, look into that. I think that, you know, some of us look at life through a scientific lens, some through more of a spiritual lens, others through an emotional or experiential lens. And, you know, I think a combination of all of the above is necessary. Addiction, as it manifests through alcoholism, drug addiction, food-related addictions, whatever the substance or behavior, really takes part fourfold, biologically, emotionally, cognitively, and spiritually. And so we need a holistic solution that is approaching all of those things. My experience has been that when I began to attend meetings on a regular basis, 90 meetings in my first 90 days of recovery, and began doing the internal work, because those addictions, compulsions, unhealthy attachments, those substances and behaviors, I see as just a symptom to this deeper spiritual malady. And so the 12 steps with the sacraments of the church can be an excellent blueprint to really get to the core of the issue: fear, shame, resentment, things of that nature we find relief from. And therefore, we can go into gatherings where there is drinking taking place or, you know, our other behaviors, if that's our challenge, and not feel like we need to participate or even feel like the compulsion to use it, but rather just say, nah, good for them. But, you know, I'm going to pass today and I can freely choose to do that because I know of the dangers that it can bring. If, you know, for me as an alcoholic, my experience has been that it's not the sixth or the eighth drink that gets me drunk, but it's the first drink that leads me to a path where I am totally powerless and only crave more. And so in order to avoid those cravings, I avoid the first drink. That's a choice that I've made. But I'm not saying that that needs to be everyone's choice.
Catherine, again, thank you. I'm going to keep moving, try to get everybody on. Michaela in Indiana, listening on 93.1 FM. Glad to have you here, Michaela. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hi, Scott. It's nice to meet you. I'm a fellow recovering addict of 8 years and 10 months in recovery. And my question is that, you know, I was born and raised in the Catholic Church and the Catholic faith. And the one thing that I found when I started my recovery journey is that you're correct. AA and ACA, Celebrate Recovery, all of that has relationship with God. You know, you walk into a room and you have fellow addicts, fellow alcoholics, things of that nature, and it's welcoming because there's somebody there that understands you. And when you walk into a Catholic church, you don't have that same feeling. You know, I think it's wonderful that you've started this program. My question is, though, how do we bridge the gap between relationship in Catholicism in recovery and make it prevalent in our churches?
Yeah. Praise God for your recovery and the freedom that you found. And I agree, you know, that there is so much more that we can do as a church to build community and even learn from what's taking place in 12-step recovery groups in relationship. I had a similar experience. I felt incredibly free as I was walking into 12-step recovery meetings to just kind of bear it all, be myself, and share what was really going on. And, well, I don't feel this way anymore. I kind of felt this pressure when I was walking into a church to really present myself as though I had it all going on and, you know, had it all together. And that's so antithetical to the gospel. Our Lord has come, it's, you know, says that it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And so our admission that we are all sick in some ways is really a necessary step to enter into that relationship with Christ and that relationship with each other, where we can just, you know, build each other up as brothers and sisters in Christ. One initiative that I'm really excited about and prioritizing in the next year is to unify the efforts within the church of those who are working in the field of addiction recovery, doing some different things, Catholic in recovery being one of those, but Guest House is a treatment center for priests and clergy struggling with alcoholism and addiction. iThirst Initiative is a great organization that's providing spiritual companions around the world to walk with those who are struggling with addiction. The Calyx Society is another organization and several others to really kind of come together as a collaborative, perhaps hosting events and things like that. But really, it's a cultural change within the church that that can lead us to, I don't know, kind of this place of you're not okay, I'm not okay, but it's okay, and to meet each other in just this need for Christ and our desperate need for each other. I think that's what recovery has gotten really well.
I would have to agree with you on that. And I appreciate everything that you do. Thank you so much, you know. It gives hope and inspiration for us out here, you know, in our little towns or big cities and in the recovery journey and, you know, in helping other addicts or
thanks,
alcoholics
Michaela.
Or anything. So thank you.
Thank you, Michaela.
Thank you.
Let's see if we can get Jeff on. Jeff, listening in San Antonio, Texas, you got to be quick. If you can be, we'll get an answer from Scott for you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Sure.
This is awesome program. I just want to let you know that I've been living in the grace since November of 83, and I was 19, and my mom prayed me in. I'm a cradle Catholic, and our Lady saved my life. And my journey, I owe everything in my life to this journey and what I've found in God and the Catholic Church as well. I separate the two a little bit, but I wanted to ask you, Scott, I just came upon this last night in my spiritual journey, and mine is very long, obviously, 42 years. Have you read Fulton Sheen's description of alcoholism in his book?
I have both heard and read what Fulton Sheen has shared about alcoholism. I believe that he also had a relationship with AA co-founder Bill Wilson. But enlighten us. Share a little bit about what you found.
My favorite, by the way. Yeah. Well, it's very interesting you say this because I in this program, it's my first time listening, and I was just blown away for anybody in recovery to know that if it wasn't for the Catholic Church, Sister Ignatia, and a lot of great input to Bill Wilson, who I believe was divinely inspired to give us the only treatment ever in the history of alcoholism since they crushed grapes, this wonderful program. And what the difference is a Catholic priest told me who specialized in recovery in England, he told me that We Agnostic was the most spiritual chapter he'd ever read. And what he loved about it, Scott, was that there's no dogma in AA. There's no rules. And you hit the nail on the head. It comes down to surrender. I heard a guy say one time if he could sum up the 12-step program, he would use two words, let go.
You brought us right to the end, Jeff. God bless you and thank you. Scott, I got to say thank you. Thank you very much. It's always great when we get these hours with you. I'm grateful that you take the time with us. And I hope more and more people will reach out to Catholic in Recovery through CatholicInRecovery.com.
Yeah, I'm so grateful for our callers today. Thank you for all listeners as well. I wish we could spend more time with every single caller, but I appreciate even just the platform to discuss this important topic as it relates to the church.
Well, let's do it again soon, all right? Don't be a stranger around here, Scott Wieman.
Will do.
All right, I think that does it for us. Yeah, it does, because I can see the clock says I got 12 more seconds to keep talking, so I better just say we'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here. I can read a clock, Scott. You didn't think I could read a clock, but I can. See you tomorrow.
The digital one.
Catholic Answers Live.